Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Godly convictions, godly convictions. The absence of convictions has all but cost us our family, our businesses, our country, even in our world. Leaders without biblical conviction will live according to the standard of lawlessness.
I believe that.
Early this morning, I got a text from a pastor friend that we support on the border of Texas, in Roma, Texas. He sent the text to me along with a video that was made of what's happening there. He said 2 days ago, Pastor, 700 people crossed the border into my little small town. He said, they're coming by the thousands. Now, you might not like me, and I don't really care, but I came to tell President Biden and everybody else that's creating this crisis on the border, and the ones that are suffering in that video I saw are little children and mothers that have been sexually abused, and they're there crying on the border today, and you saying that you're going to take care of them. The devil is a liar, and you're lying too. You're doing it for politics. I say in Jesus' name, you better get this right, because God cares about the poor more than he cares about the wealthy and rich. And powerful. I had to get that off my chest. Because all you got to do is take a little clip at this video that I have and watch the humanity in the hearts of children that have nowhere to go, that have been abused and are walking across the line with the promise of coming into America. Can I tell you, it is an illegal, immoral act that's happening. And what America's doing right now is teaching those that are coming across the border that they don't have to go through the door. What is that? It was first spiritual before it was physical. And people are going to say, I will get to heaven and it won't make any difference how I live. I'll come across the border and I don't have to go through the door. But Jesus said, I am the door. And if any man enters into heaven, you got to go through the door. I'm back. This generation, since this time last year, along with you and me, have been told, muzzle yourself. No worship. Stay away from church. Stay away from youth group. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I'm watching as the numbers in the youth department here on Wednesday night, and if you don't have your children here, you better get them to church. Because there's going to be a day when you're not existing, walking around to be the example of righteousness, and they're going to have to make up their mind what's right and wrong, and a generation that's going to teach them in school it's okay to be LGBTQ and whatever else they want to make it. But I came to tell you there's a right way, and whenever that child of yours has enough of the word of God on the inside of them, they'll do like the grandchildren I'm hearing around here, standing up in their class, quoting the word of God, drawing pictures of Jesus in the Bible. You know what? That's what this generation needs, and I'm saying to all of us older people, let's move on and let's see what God's going to do. God's given us a promise.
God have mercy.
Somebody shout godly character.
Godly,
and godly convictions.
Godly
convictions. Our little granddaughter came over and stayed. Yesterday when Lauren came to pick her up, and she had drawn some pictures in her little book. And Rita and I were amazed at how straight the lines were, and even at her age, the artistic gift that is on the inside of her. Typically as children, when we're given a picture to color as a juvenile, we color all outside of the lines. Now watch this, what I'm about to tell you. Your little kid, little small one, color all outside of the line. I mean, back in the day, they had to collect the hymn books in the church because the little kids were coloring all over the hymns, all over in there, drawing pictures and everything. Color all outside of the lines. And you know what moms and dads do? They lie.
Best picture in the world.
They say, oh, baby. That is the most beautiful picture I have ever seen. If you think parents lie, grandparents are the father of. Because they start out and we expect them as children to color outside of the line. That's normal. They've just come into the world. They're trying to learn how to put it all together. They don't understand boundaries. That's the reason why I don't understand moms and dads wanting to be their children's friend instead of being their parent. Because if you don't teach them that someday they're going to have to color in the lines, they're going to get killed when they get on the road and drive the car and there's a yellow and a white line and the line said you got to stay in the lines, but they say, I don't care, Mom and Daddy, let me color outside of the line. I'm going to drive wherever I want.
Better fix it.
That's the reason why I'm always amazed when hurricane season comes. Because no matter how far that floodwater comes in, because God predetermined the boundary, it has to go right back where God put it. The mighty Mississippi River, as strong as it is, if it didn't have boundaries, would flood the houses and nobody would want to live there. But God said, this is as far as you go. I came to tell you today, my dear friend, God has drawn a line in the sand and the devil said, I'm going to color outside of the line in their house and in their family. But I came to tell you, God said, that's as far as you're going to go. You're going to be bold as a lion and pull back. With godly character, I conclude. The older you get when you color, you're supposed to be able to color in the lines. Say amen for somebody sitting next to you. You need to, because next week we're going to have a coloring contest up in here. If we continue to demand that the lines disappear, or let's borrow a phrase from today. If we just cancel the lines altogether, let's just wipe them out. Let's just cancel them all. If we do that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wake up one day and there'll be no conviction at all. If we continue to demand that the lines disappear, convictions make you stop at the stop sign. Thank you for the three people that are going to stop when you get out of here. When that police officer is out there, stop the traffic and say, come on. It overrides the stop sign. So God still has the authority. But as long as they're the definitive line, you better pay attention to the stop sign. Convictions make you stay in your lane. And in the car I drive, I got in one in Houston, Texas one time, rented this car, going to preach out there. Got off the plane, got in this car, started driving down Houston with six lanes, people everywhere. It was pandemonium, chaos, crazy. Everybody driving all over the place. I'm in this car. I didn't know how to operate it. Next thing I know, I floated over into one of those lanes, Brother Neff. Next thing you know, my left thigh started vibrating. I said, oh, my God, did I hit somebody? And I kind of floated over here because I'm looking at the map trying to see where I'm going. And I get over there and they said, they put, because we have become so dumb, they put vibrators in the seat now to tell you you're crossing into the other lane. I guarantee you, if you pull up next to Bubba and his pickup truck and you get in his lane, he's gonna let you know without a vibrator in that seat. Look at somebody, tell him, stay in your lane. Heaven is a place of conviction. Bible says it's a four-square city. And there's gonna be a guard at the gate, an angel that's going to say, you can enter or you gotta stay outside. How many of you understand borders now? Here's the third and final thing I give to you today, and that is take courage. Daniel stood unwaveringly. Watch this. Get ready, fellas. Get ready back there. Daniel faced the fight as a prophetic statesman. They tried to separate him from his home, from his culture, from his values, and from his God. And they said, Daniel, we just made a law, and you can no longer pray. And you think this Bible is outdated. They're passing laws right now that says you're going to do what we tell you to do. And my question is to you, congregation. You've been serving the Lord, singing his songs, and reading his book. When the time comes for you to stand, are you going to take courage at that moment and say like Daniel, I don't care that you've outlawed prayer. I'm going to pray anyway. He lived through different kings, different administrations, different laws, and he remained resolved and full of character, conviction, and courage. Daniel, take courage. I will not defile myself with the king's meat. Watch this. He prophesied with courage to King Nebuchadnezzar the future of his own downfall. Daniel took courage, and when he prayed, they outlawed the prayer and threw him into the lion's den for his worship. Now, some people have their theory, this is mine, why the lions didn't eat him up. Because the lions were eating off of King Nebuchadnezzar's table, the scraps. And when Daniel, who had not defiled himself by eating off of the delicacies of King Nebuchadnezzar's table, was thrown down into the lion's den, those lions looked at him and said, don't smell like what we've been eating. And the lions lost their appetite because Daniel was of another spirit. He had an anointing on him that let him lay his head in the lap of that lion. Daniel, take courage and prophesy to King Belshazzar. Some of you look at me and you say, Pastor, why in the world would you preach it and speak to the president and so forth like you would? With great respect, I do that. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to take a Daniel in this hour to look at King Belshazzar and say, hey, there's a handwriting on the wall with the finger of God. And every time you pass a law to abort more babies, and every time that you pass laws against the word of God, God said you've been found wanting. Weighed in the balance. And Daniel walked out of the room. Daniel took courage. When he introduced for us the two archangels of Gabriel and Michael in his book, he took courage so much that the people that hung around him, are you still with me? Daniel displayed his courage to his friends so much that they said, when their time came, throw us into the fire. We don't care what kind of law you pass. We only worship God. Is that a mimic of what's happening today? I do believe so. Daniel gave us this pattern. Be strong and very courageous. And Joshua picked up on it. Be strong and very courageous. And David picked up on it. Be strong and very courageous. David, understand this. You kill the lion and you kill the bear. That was all practice. Goliath is going to come and defy you. But you stand in the name of the Lord with great courage. And take courage in that rag and in that rock. He's calling the church to courage. Pastors feeling weak, people feeling weak. What am I going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. Yes, sir. At Pace Assembly, we're going to take courage.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you and help you in your walk with the Lord. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org. PaceAssembly.org, and we'll be glad to get you the information, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and we'll be glad to correspond with you. We want to thank you for joining us each day at this same time, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.